Let us pray together. God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still small voice. Open us to change and growth, that we may walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Good morning. How are you? Good? Everybody good? Yes? So I have a confession to make. One of the things that runs in my family is stinky feet. My brother Barry has stinky feet, my brother Dwayne has stinky feet, and I have stinky feet too. So do you want to know what I got for Christmas one year from my mother along with my brothers? Cool, right? I'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, pay attention. Up here. We'll play with that later. So one of the things I got for Christmas one year, I'll wait, Holland. I got this bag that had little balls in it that you put in your shoes to make it smell very good. Can you imagine? That's what
my dad got sport ones.
Sport ones? So his feet don't stink either? So his shoes don't smell? So when I go into my closet at home, you open the door and it's like, whoa! This smell is really, really bad. It's sneakers and and sweaty shoes and things like that. So did anybody have the story about Jesus washing people's feet? Sit down, Mom. Did you have that in Sunday school today? So Jesus was a king, and he's our master, and he was not above washing the disciples' feet. Can you imagine washing someone's feet? Yeah. So the disciples, they would walk and walk and walk, and their feet would be even dirtier than Mrs. Kaiser's, and probably more smelly, and Jesus got to wash all of them. So Jesus had a basin, so please look at the basin, and I bet Jesus wished he had this for the disciples. Now look at this, you fill this with water, and all Jesus would have had to do is put the feet in and turn it on him. Okay, and feel this, it bubbles. All right, now Holland, you wanted to touch this. Now, wouldn't this have been good for Jesus? Push down on that. What is it doing? Okay, turn it off then. Wouldn't that have been a great thing? Wouldn't that have been a great thing for Jesus to have when he was washing all the disciples' feet? But no, he had to take the water and he had to scrub them and had to do all kinds of things. And he was washing all the sins away. So remember that we're never good enough, that we can't wash another Christian's feet, and that we have all sinned, and we can clean ourselves by praying and being good people. Let's have a quick prayer. Loving God, we thank you for washing away the stinky things that we do and forgiving us when we make mistakes. Keep us ever in your love and forgiveness. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's almost flip-flop weather, sandal weather, I think. We had a little preview of it this week, right? 80 degrees, sunny, warm. Now a little bit rainy. But imagine, I know it sounds like paradise, living in a place where you could wear sandals all year round. It's nice and warm. You didn't have to deal with snow, you know. But, you know, the trade-off with that, of course, is that it's dusty. Dust, right? I mean, if you've ever been to Arizona before, you know that it's not just sand. The desert is not sand like at the beach. It's dust, and dust gets everywhere. And when you're wearing sandals and it's dusty, the sweat from your feet, because it's hot, mixes with the dust, and it kind of creates mud, and it gets caked onto your feet. And then, you know, the sandals, the leather from your sandals gives you some, you know, nice grip on your feet, too. I mean, just it reminds you of summer, doesn't it? Okay. But you got to take a bath. You got to wash those dirty feet. We don't have foot washing in our society because we wear shoes usually. And we take our shoes off when we go into someone's house. Normally we have socks or something along those lines on our feet. In some cultures, actually, when you take off your shoes, they have slippers for you to put on when you enter the house. But in Jesus' day, you would wash your feet when you came into someone's house. Now, usually, most of the time, you'd wash your own feet. But in those households where people were wealthy enough to have house servants, the lowliest of servants would be assigned to wash your feet. Usually a woman, a female servant in those days, would wash your feet. So you would sit down, they would wash your feet, they would dry them off, and then you would be, you know, ready to be a visitor, a guest in the house. Foot washing is assigned to the lowliest of people, which is what makes what Jesus does so out of character, almost unheard of, unthinkable, that the master, the one who was above all of them, would take the form of the lowest female servant and be the one to wash their feet. I wonder how many disciples had their feet washed before they got to Peter. And I wonder what those first disciples were thinking. Did they just let Jesus do this? Peter was always kind of the show-off in the group. He was always the one who had the bright ideas. He was the one who was sort of the spokesperson for everyone else. When Jesus is up on the mountain of transfiguration and he takes James and John and Peter with him up there, Peter is the one who has the bright idea to build a Holiday Inn for Moses and Elijah and Jesus to all stay in. He wants to build the convention center. Peter's always got bright ideas. This time, though, he says what probably the rest of the disciples are thinking, Jesus, will you wash my feet? You want to wash my feet? The master wants to wash the feet of the disciple? Jesus says, you probably don't understand what it is that I'm doing, but you will. You'll understand. Well, Jesus clearly isn't getting the message about social convention here. So Peter helps him out. He goes even further. He says, Jesus, teacher, master, you shall never wash my feet. You shall never wash my feet. This is simply not done. Peter doesn't say, we should be the ones to wash your feet. Because even that would sort of be outside of the social convention. I mean, if anything, maybe, but even that is a little bit of a stretch in this situation. It's so countercultural for someone who's not a servant to wash anyone's feet. If anything, Peter should wash his own feet. We're not into foot washing here. In fact, if I asked you to take off your shoes and socks right now and turn to the person next to you and wash their feet, you might do it. I might be here by myself next week, too. It's not social convention for us. It's not something that we do. And actually, it's really hard. I mean, in Sunday school this morning, we were trying to think up, like, what would even be a social equivalent to such a thing? And we couldn't even come up with anything. Because it's so, you know, hospitality is something that is quite a bit different these days. And plus, we're pretty self-reliant people. We can do those things ourselves. Jesus says to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you can have no part of me. Well, then Peter goes overboard. He says, well, not just my feet then, but wash my head, my hands as well. Like, you know, Jesus didn't, Peter wants more. He wants more. He wants Jesus to love him fully, not just my feet, but my head and my hands as well. As if the washing of the feet wasn't enough love. Jesus says, I don't need to wash your head. Don't need to wash your hands. You had a bath today. You're clean. although parenthetically, not all of you is clean, because he knew who was going to betray him. But that's a sermon for a whole another time. We'll get to Judas eventually. He says, just as I washed your feet as the teacher, you should wash each other's feet. Washing someone's feet is a very, very intimate thing to do. You can tell a lot about a person by their feet. And most of us would get a little bit squeamish about someone that we know washing our feet. That's why, like, if we go get a pedicure, you know, we go and pay someone to do it. We don't invite our friends over. Say, hey, let's all give each other pedicures. No, we all go out together in groups, us guys, and we go out and we get pedicures together. Guys are looking at me a little bit funny, like, what kind of guys are you going out and getting pedicures with? We only dream of it, ladies. We only dream of it. But we pay someone else to do that. But Jesus says, you should wash each other's feet. You need to get into each other's personal space. He doesn't say each one of you should wash your own feet. He says, you should wash each other's feet. You should be in each other's intimate spaces. And I think there is some connection for us here this morning with that. You see, as modern day Americans, you know, self-reliance is a virtue for us. We like to do things on our own. I had a flat tire last week, and I changed that in the rain, even though we have roadside assistance, because I can do it. Even if I'm cold and rainy and annoyed by how things are not working right, I can't figure out where the jack is supposed to go, and I'm tired. But I don't want to rely on anyone else to help me, because self-reliance is a virtue. Sometimes this extends into our life in the church as well. We don't want to let people know what's happening in our lives because we can take care of ourselves. I don't need someone to pray for me, because I can pray for myself, and God will hear my prayer just as much as God will hear anyone else's prayer. So I don't have to tell people that I'm sick or that, you know, someone that I love is going through difficulty or I just lost my job or whatever the case might be. Because self-reliance is a virtue. But Jesus says, wash each other's feet. He also says, if you don't let me wash you, then you can have no part with me. What's that all about? You have to let people in. Jesus can't have any part with them, not because he doesn't want to have anything to do with them, but because they are the ones who are putting up the wall. You'll never wash my feet. I can't let you into my personal space. I can't tell you what's going on in my life. Well, if you can't, then you can't have any part with me because you won't let me in. A few months ago, we gathered together as a church downstairs in Larman Hall. We talked about what our core values are. You know, what is Abundant Life Reformed Church all about? And if you go in the consistory room, you can see still up on the walls in front of the consistory every time we gather are the sheets of paper that we came up with. And there are certain themes that emerge, and one of those is that we care for each other. And we do. Well, we would love to anyway, except when we don't let each other in. You know, the whole audacious thing about the foot washing is not that Jesus was telling the disciples to wash someone's feet. It's that he was telling them, let your feet be washed. The title of today's sermon is That's Beneath Me, not because the tasks that we're called to do are beneath us, but because so often we feel like relying on another person is beneath us. And so people get in the hospital and they come out of the hospital. They tell us later they were in the hospital. Oh, we didn't want to bother anyone. Ridiculous! Are we not called to be a community? Jesus says to his disciples, wash each other's feet. All these fences and walls that we build around our lives. I mean, that's what the world does. Folks who move here to Wyckoff do so because they want to be left alone. There are nice houses here, big garages. They pull in, door closes behind them. You don't see them till the next day. The door opens and they pull out and they go back to work. They don't want to be bothered. They can take care of themselves. But that's a worldly thing. Like, that's garbage is what it is. Because that's not who God created us to be. And the truth is, if we are going to be a people that models that kind of radical hospitality to the world, we got to figure it out ourselves first. We've got to actually bring our concerns into the room and voice them and be supported by another person. The idea that someone is going through something and no one else knows about it should not happen. Because there's a room full of people who would love to care for you. I mean, I see nodding heads. Tells me that there are folks here who would do anything, right? Drive to doctor's visits and make phone calls and cook meals and, you know, give money. Like, there are lots of things that people are willing to do and pray and pray and pray. But if we don't let them wash our feet, then we can have no part of them. Truth is, the harsh, harsh truth, and Jesus speaks it right to his disciples, which is why I have the courage to say it today, which is that if you're not willing to go there, then what's the point of being here? If you're not willing to fully engage in the community, then why are you even here? We're a church who cares. We say that over and over and over again. So friends, let's be vulnerable with one another. Let's wash each other's feet. Because we have the basins, we've got the towels, we're ready. We're ready to do some washing. Let's take off our shoes together and be willing to let someone else into our lives, that we might truly and fully care for each other as Jesus had commanded us to do. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, vulnerability is one of the hardest things for us. Admitting the truth that we can't do it alone is not something we like to do. But Lord, we thank you for giving us a community of faith equipped and ready to support us in our deepest time of need, to be your presence in our lives. Lord, give us the courage to be vulnerable and continue to equip us with the gifts to care for one another, that the world might begin to understand who you are, what you came to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell.
Third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to
judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.